Nobody spoke about hell in relation to sexual sin as much as Jesus. And He was the one who died for our sins. He's the one who knew how serious it is. And nobody tells us, it's okay, you'll be alright, as the devil. So you have a choice as to which voice you're going to hear. I've decided to hear the voice of Jesus. I know it's gone well with me. It's not that I lived a perfect life. But there was a day in my life when I decided Christ is going to have everything there is of me. And it was a battle. You know, it's like learning how to swim. In the early days in the swimming pool, it's a struggle, it's a struggle, it's a struggle. You wonder whether you'll drown. But then you see how people swim so effortlessly after a while. They enjoy it. And so it is. The Christian life really becomes enjoyable after a while. And I can tell you that from my own life. But in the beginning, it's a struggle. And if you're afraid of going through that struggle, like a person who just doesn't want to struggle the early part of learning swimming or learning typewriting or anything, you're just not going to learn it. You've got to struggle in the beginning. Look at these people who type so fast. You think they learned that the first day? No. They made us so many blunders in their typing the first day. But look at them, how fast they type. Say, boy, how in the world do they do it? They enjoy it so much. So I want to encourage you when you're young to develop some good habits and be very careful about the things which the devil says that appeal to your body and appeal to your mind, appeal to your reason. Think about what you're going to reap, the harvest you're going to reap finally, whatever thing it is. We read about Esau. In Hebrews chapter 12, that it says, we're given a warning in Hebrews 12 and verse 15. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God. Now, do you know that he's writing to believers? He's not writing to a bunch of unconverted people saying don't come short of the grace of God. He's telling believers, you guys have been forgiven. You guys are in a good church. But now, make sure that you don't come short, miss out on what the grace of God has for you. Example, don't be an immoral, godless person like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. The birthright was a spiritual blessing. The food which his brother Jacob offered him was something physical that satisfied his need right now. And Jacob, his brother, was a shrewd man. Esau came tired from hunting, and Jacob had made this wonderful, it says it's a lentil soup, which is dal curry. I can't imagine a man selling his spiritual birthright for dal curry. Would any of you do that? I mean, it's just as stupid to sell your birthright for pornography, I'll tell you. It's as stupid as selling your spiritual birthright for some dal. I mean, if it was ice cream, at least something, but dal. Imagine that. It's as stupid to be addicted to something on this earth and to sell your birthright that he said, give me that and I'll give you my birthright. Birthright was in the future. It was spiritual. The food was what satisfied my need right now. And he thought, I'll make a fool of this Jacob. I'll get this now, and I'll get my birthright also later. Isn't that what some of you are thinking? That, yeah, I'll indulge myself in these little sins. And always, you remember the thief on the cross, how he got forgiveness at the last moment? You know, the thief on the cross would not have got forgiven at the last moment if he had kept on rejecting it earlier on from the time he was 16, 17, 18, 19. By the time he hung on the cross, he'd have been so much turned off that his conscience would have been worn out that he would not have been able to respond. You're not in that category. That was probably the first time he really was aware of how serious he was sinning. There's no question of last minute repentance for people who keep on rejecting it. And that's written here. You know, verse 17, Hebrews 12, that afterwards when Esau desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected because he could not repent. Is it possible that a person can come to the place where he cannot repent. You think you can repent anytime you like. You cannot. You can for a while. I feel it's like this. Every time you sin, keep on sinning, you're like approaching a red line that God has drawn in front of you. You haven't reached there yet. You can still repent. You still repent. You still repent. You keep on indulging in that addiction which you know God hates and the very thing Jesus died for. Remember, is to save you from pornography and drunkenness and filthy movies and everything else that Jesus died and fooling around with the opposite sex. And you neglect it. Yeah, so what if he died? I want to enjoy myself, enjoy myself. Every time you do that, you're rejecting the cross of Christ, even though you sit like a holy person in CFC, and you're approaching a red line, and one day you'll cross it. And when you cross it, even if you want to repent, you will not be able to repent. It'll happen. It's happened to people. I know one or two people I've seen like this in my life. There was absolutely no possibility. If I talked to them about the Lord, they'd laugh. I was amazed. The guy was a Christian. But he would laugh when he sort of commit adultery and come home. This is in the naval days, I remember. And I would speak to him and he'd just laugh it off. The guy had crossed the line. I couldn't do anything for him. I'll never forget that. Well, I don't know about his past life, but he'd probably gone on and on and on and on and on till his conscience stopped bothering him. Haven't you seen how little children, when they tell a lie, they're immediately convicted, but time goes on and on and on and on. They're not even bothered when they tell lies. So remember that. Afterwards, even though he cried and with tears, he could not repent. Let me show you one more verse. Ezekiel chapter 16. It speaks about the sin of Sodom. Sodom was addicted to sexual sin. We read that in Sodom they would even indulge in sex with the same gender, men with men. And when Sodom has sort of come to symbolize that type of sin, any sex outside of marriage is sin. Even men with women is sin. If it's outside of marriage, and men with men is always sin. Ezekiel 16, it says here in verse 49, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom. What was it? It's not the sexual sin was because of what? Pride? Too much food? Laziness? And lack of compassion for other needy people. How did they go into such terrible addiction of anything? One, pride. I want to tell you this. Every addict, whether it's addiction to drugs, pornography, sex, food, is always, first of all, due to your pride. That means when you're proud, God withdraws His grace from you. You don't get grace to overcome sin, even though you want to. So first, humble yourself if you want to get grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. Second is plenty of food. You can overcome many addictions if you learn to fast once in a while. And it's not such a big thing. I remember I used to fast when I was 21 years old, sometimes for 2 days. Because I said, Lord, I want to overcome this desires in my body. I would just drink some liquids, some milk or something, and not eat any solid foods while I was working on a ship. Because I said, Lord, I want to count for you. Have you ever tried that? Have you ever tried fasting for a whole day and continuing with your work? You won't die, I'll tell you that. You'll be healthier. I feel so sad when I see young men and women getting fat. It says, you read in 1 Kings chapter 18 how Elijah, when he went up to pray, could put his head between his knees. The moment you can't put your head between your knees, you know you're going the wrong direction. I could do that for a long, long time. I think I can get pretty close even today. To put your head between your knees. It's sad to see people who have no control over how much they eat. That's how you get addicted to other things. Number three, laziness. Laziness, plenty of leisure, and that's the problem with a lot of young people today. Plenty of money to waste, indisciplined life, laziness, and there's a truth in the worldly proverb that an idle mind is the devil's workshop. He works pretty hard in an idle mind. Keep yourself busy studying God's Word. Keep yourself busy seeking fellowship with others. Keep yourself busy doing something for the Lord. That's how I was saved from many things in my younger days. And number four, no care for others who are in need. Try serving others who are in need instead of selfishly thinking about yourself, and you'll be saved from many addictions in your life. I really believe that if you take these things seriously, you'll find that God takes you seriously. If you play the fool with God, you'll find God cannot be fooled. So I want to encourage you to take these matters seriously. I believe that many of us who've come along to CFC, there's a tremendous lack of discipline in today's young born-again believers in all these areas, in the matter of humbling themselves, in the matter of indisciplined eating, in the matter of laziness in studying God's Word or using time profitably, and in the matter of compassion for others who are in need, indulging themselves with all the money they get. Well, that's how it ended up in Sodom. So make sure you don't end up there. There is salvation for you today. God bless you.